Every culture has its own framework for mental health and mechanisms for seeking help in a crisis.
The more we talk about the issues behind suicide and destigmatise mental illness and destigmatise depression, the more we can assist young people.
We currently do not have anywhere near enough mental health and support services for families and children.
There are many times that I couldn't continue to write. I cried so badly and for a whole day I couldn't write anything.
I was shrinking from telling friends who might have been able to help me because I felt that they couldn't possibly understand every nuance of what had happened to me or help.
These are just some of the voices of the concerned health authorities and the victims on the debilitating effects of mental illness in Australia. According to the World Health Organization, 25% of individuals will develop one or more mental or behavioural disorders at some stage in their life. And there are more than 870,000 suicides every year, more than homicide, wars and terrorist attacks combined. 90% of individuals who died by suicide showed some form of mental disorder. So are we all missing the symptoms of mental illness in the 1 in 4 people on the street? And what are these medical symptoms compared to our community understanding of mental illness? John Mendoza is the CEO of the Mental Health Council of Australia.
One of the things I think as a community we've got to gain a better understanding of is the fact that there are very many different types of mental illness. It's a bit like trying to describe in one sort of statement, a range of physical illnesses, and we know the diversity between something like diabetes and cardiovascular disease and muscular dystrophy, just to take three. They're all profoundly different, and we would never think to sort of cluster them as all, you know, physical ailments with a common set of signs and symptoms. Mental illness is somewhat the same in that we as a community don't tend to, if you like, disaggregate the types of mental illness and understand that depression is quite different in its signs and symptoms from some of the psychoses, such as schizophrenia and drug-related psychosis. So we think it's critical that people are better informed on mental illness, better able to recognise the signs and symptoms in either family members or work colleagues, and then able to provide the appropriate support. And we've seen we can do this, we can all take this journey. We've done it in relation to many physical and intellectual disabilities, but we've got some way to go in relation to psychiatric issues.
Is it mostly due to education that we could make people understand how to spot certain symptoms and episodes?
Yeah, look, I think stigma and lack of understanding, be it in relation to something like prostate cancer or breast cancer, we've seen over, particularly with breast cancer over the last 10 or 15 years, a profound change in the community's understanding of both recognising the signs and symptoms of potentially cancerous growth in the breast and what's the appropriate action to take, and really encouraging people and providing the services for them to be able to take early assessment, diagnosis and treatment. And consequently, the death rates and the impact of breast cancer is reducing in the community. So with mental illnesses, we think we have to replicate that journey in relation to a significant number of mental illnesses, which are fairly common when you look at them on a population basis, even schizophrenia. 1 to 1.5% of the population will experience schizophrenia at some time in their life, and that's a not insignificant population number.
What sort of facilities and the like are needed currently in Australia to make sure that this education gets out and these needs can be addressed?
Well, I think we can tackle it on a number of levels. I mean, Beyond Blue, the National Depression Initiative, is doing a wonderful job in terms of raising people's awareness and understanding of depression, anxiety and other social phobias, and really promoting not only the understanding and the ability to recognise, but also encouraging people to seek treatment early. And we know that if people seek treatment early, we get very good outcomes, that the extent of the depression, the duration of the depression, is significantly less when people do have access to good care. And that care may include the provision of treatments like cognitive behavioural therapy, or it could include the use of medications for short term to overcome the more debilitating aspects of depression.
I told myself I was not going to think about myself alone. I must think for others.
It came to the point of despair where I felt that even if they knew, there was nothing they could do.
Stigma plays such a large part. How can stigma in particular be broken down in the community?
Well, there's a lot we need to do about stigma, and I think we need to understand how dramatic a barrier this is to people accepting the need for care and recognising that they may in fact be experiencing a mental illness. Presently, we only have about half of all mental illness experienced in the community people actually go and seek care for. Now, that's about half of what the rate amongst physical illness is. So with any particular physical disorder in the community, we can generally expect 4 out of 5 people experiencing that disorder will seek and obtain effective intervention. In relation to mental illness, only about 4 out of 10, 2 out of 5, will obtain, well, certainly seek services and obtain services. So one of the reasons for that is that we have real issues about people accepting the need for care. And stigma is the barrier there. Some of the other barriers have really been addressed in the Commonwealth's announcements around increased access to psychology and other allied health care under Medicare. So there are those structural barriers, and those funds will help people access services when they recognise the need. But we have to do much more in breaking down the stigma associated with mental illness and really encouraging men in particular to seek service, and bringing those services to where men are, I think, is also part of the solution.
It is time to ask for help. If your sleep is badly affected, if you do feel distressed and irritable, on edge, agitated, jumpy much of the time, if you feel hopeless or despairing and you just can't go on.
Is the government's heightening of funding, is that going to make any dent whatsoever in providing these services?
Oh, without a doubt, $538 million over 5 years, it's really over 4.5 years, to increase access to psychology, occupational therapy, social work under Medicare is a very big number. But more importantly, it really opens up access to those services for mental illnesses in a way we've never had before. And I think we will see the range of services that are provided through Medicare really expand over the coming years. And that's a very welcome development.